I'm really excited to have on the line with me Kathleen Scama. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. And this show is brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services, and we're talking about health and hydrocarbons. Affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is one of the key components of everyday people being able to thrive and prosper. And, of course, hydrocarbons come from fossil fuels, or fossil fuels, I guess they're almost synonymous. But they make our life better. But they've really been getting a bad rap with all of this new green energy and all. And so we wanted to talk to Kathleen about something very exciting that is happening this week. Kathleen Scama, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kim. I appreciate it.
So you are doing something creative. You're actually going on the offense a little bit this week. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, since over several months now, Bernie Sanders has been calling oil and natural gas executives criminal. Joe Biden, jumping on the bandwagon, has even said that, you know, if he were elected president, he would put us in jail. Elizabeth Warren thinks we're corrupt, but of course she thinks any private business is corrupt.
Right.
I'm not sure what to do with that. But the bottom line is, we've been called criminals for the last several months, and we're finally saying, you know what, we're not going to take that. So we got together 54 oil and natural gas executives, and they signed an open letter to Senators Warren, Sanders, and Vice President Biden saying, we would be criminal not to produce oil and natural gas. Because if we don't have oil and natural gas in this country, then people actually die. There's no food in the grocery store because you need oil and natural gas to grow the crops and bring it to market. There wouldn't be medicines in the medicine cabinet or medical devices to keep people alive in the ICU without oil and natural gas making the plastics and the medicines. People would die literally if we didn't have electricity 24/7, not intermittently like wind and solar, but 24/7 electricity to run those medical devices, to keep the lights on. We wouldn't be warm in the winter without natural gas. We wouldn't be cool in the summer without oil and natural gas. And of course, you know, it's obvious that we need oil to get to work and school to better our lives. So we would actually be criminal not to provide an energy source that does all that, that maintains a healthy, vibrant, life-sustaining, modern lifestyle for Americans and across the globe. And in fact, there are about 1 billion people worldwide that don't have access to electricity. And those people are poor. If they don't have access to energy like we do in the West, then they're cooking with dirty stoves. They don't have lights to study by at night. And so we're pointing out that not only do we help Americans, but we can help the 1 billion people worldwide without access to reliable electricity were we able to export natural gas in greater quantities. So that's what we're doing. We're responding to that rhetoric calling us criminals, and we're saying, you know, actually, if you look at all the good that we do in the world, we are certainly not criminals to provide a product that does all those life-sustaining things.
Well, Kathleen Scama, I want to drill down, no pun intended, a little bit on what you just mentioned about the billion people on this earth that do not have electricity, reliable, affordable, and efficient energy. And even going to women, you mentioned dirty stoves. When women have to basically go out and collect, you know, wood or dung or whatever to be able to cook over, to have an energy source, that takes time. When they have to go and get water, that takes time. They're not able to, you know, actually improve their lives. They're just trying to survive. And the other component is burning these particular, you know, wood or dung or whatever isn't good for the air. There's typically more pollution there as well. So it's kind of astounding to me that we have these kind of radical activist candidates that are advocating getting rid of something that makes people's lives better and actually hurts the environment as well. It's a little disconnect to me.
That's a great point, Kim. I mean, what you said, that's all true. And I think what happens in the West, and we see it in many different spheres, from how crops are grown to how medicines are made. I mean, we have people who think that homeopathy is going to, you know, is better than modern medicine. And we have people who think organic, sustainable, self-sufficient farming is better than modern agriculture, which actually can feed the world. We'd be starving if we went backwards when it comes to agriculture. So in many different spheres, we take for granted what we have in the modern world, and we focus on some impacts, because every human activity has impacts. So we focus on the impacts of these activities, and we magnify that, and we forget that the benefits are so much bigger than the impacts. So you will have the other side, unfortunately, you know, it shouldn't be a partisan issue, but you have the environmental groups who act as if oil and natural gas is evil because it does have some environmental impacts. But if you look at it on balance, the benefits we provide are so much greater than the impacts. And the good news is greater use of American oil and natural gas is actually causing air emissions to go down, because we're using more natural gas in electricity generation, and we're helping to clean the air because it is clean burning. It's helping to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Natural gas is the number one reason the United States has reduced greenhouse gas emissions more than any other country. But the environmental groups, the environmental lobby, which basically is kind of running the Democratic Party now, wants to just focus on scarcity, so limiting people's choices when it comes to what they can eat or what they can, what type of energy they can use. And that scarcity would result in intermittent energy. It would reduce the lifestyle that we enjoy and actually endanger health. And they do that in the name of climate change a lot, or just general impacts on the environment. But again, the balance is oil and natural gas provide so many more benefits. If you weighed both the costs and the benefits, or the benefits compared to the impact, the benefits are so much greater. And that's why people use oil and natural gas, because they don't want to go back to and live in caves. They want to be able to heat their homes so they don't die in the wintertime from coal. They want to be able to use modern medicines and medical devices that are enabled by oil and natural gas. And so, you know, there's that trade-off. And, you know, we win that trade-off hands down if there's an honest conversation about that. But the Democratic candidates who are calling us criminals, they don't want to have that honest conversation. They just want to vilify one industry. They want to, it's like we're being scapegoated. And if their agenda was actually put into place, if we actually did away with oil and natural gas, they would be out of office so quickly, when Americans can't, you know, drive their car, eat a hamburger, and, you know, turn the lights on 24/7.
Well, and I think everyday hardworking people really take these things for granted, because, you know, they're busy with their lives. They're busy taking care of their kids. They don't realize what is happening from a policy standpoint. And when we start to see the effects of this, people, I think, I agree with you, they're going to say, wait a minute. But what I see happening from these, kind of activist, far left PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, is you start to shut down an industry, and you can't just start an industry back up. And so it's kind of being incrementally, calling oil and gas executives criminals. It seems like it's an incremental situation to shut down this whole industry. And if in fact that happens, it's going to be difficult to start it back up again.
Well, you know, I think the good news is, despite all the rhetoric, they don't have actual legal means to shut us down. I think it's campaign rhetoric. It's unfortunate, because it misinforms the public. And when you misinform the public, what happens is bad policies can come into place that can do things like increase costs for consumers. But, I mean, I think ultimately, since their agenda is so radical and would be so unpopular with people, I think that it really won't come to fruition. For example, they talk about banning fracking. Well, the president doesn't have control over fracking. That's not in the power of the government, mm-hmm. of the federal government or the president. It's in the power of individual states. So, you know, a president can't tell Texas that they're not going to develop oil and natural gas and that they're going to kill the entire economy of Texas. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
But we do see on, from a policy standpoint, for example, out in California, they're trying to put forward legislation that says that there'll be no new, or my understanding is no new natural gas, like you can't have natural gas for your range or, you know, for your
right.
fireplace. And so those policies are very, very dangerous. And I'm concerned about those, Kathleen Scama.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. This vilifying natural gas is completely strange because, again, it's the number one reason the United States has reduced greenhouse gas emissions. It's clean burning. So by using it in electricity generation, we're actually reducing standard air pollutants as well. So it's this misguided vilification. And, you know, that's a great example of where that rhetoric translates into really bad policy.
Right.
I mean, in New York, people can't hook up their home to natural gas. It's really cold in New York. It's colder mm-hmm. than in Colorado, certainly, where I am. We're based in Denver. But it's, you know, if you can't have people using natural gas, well, then they have to use electricity for their home heating. And you know what? That's largely coal and natural gas anyway. So it's really misguided. And I can't imagine a professional chef. Speaking of California, where some of these bans on natural gas are, I mean, California is known for its, you know, chefs and its world-class food. You don't cook without a natural gas stove if you're a serious chef. So it's kind of, like, there's going to be a backlash to that, and it's so misguided.
It truly is. Now, Kathleen Scama, who is the president of Western Energy Alliance, let's go to break. We'll continue this conversation about health and hydrocarbons, how hydrocarbons make our lives better. The show is brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. All the show recaps and podcasts will be posted there. Also, if you want to talk to me, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I love hearing from you. On the line with me is the president of Western Energy Alliance, Kathleen Scama. And we're having a conversation about a new initiative, I guess I might say, on informing people that the oil and gas industry executives and the industry are not criminals, as Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Elizabeth Warren have said or implied. So, Kathleen Scama, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Kim. It's a pleasure. Yeah, so we are kind of sick of presidential candidates, particularly Bernie Sanders, who has called us criminals, and Vice President Joe Biden saying that we should be put in jail. So we've kind of let that rhetoric go for far too long. So yesterday we placed an ad, a full-page ad in the New York Times, so kind of right in the center of that type of atmosphere.
Kind of the belly of the beast of all this narrative.
Yes, exactly, that narrative. And so it's a full-page ad that says that we would be criminal not to provide oil and natural gas. And so we talk about all of the life-sustaining things that oil and natural gas does. We actually have a picture of a little boy in India who is studying by lantern. It's actually a solar-powered lantern, so it's not going to last too much longer. Hopefully he gets his homework done for the night before that lantern goes out. But we talk about how natural gas is a solution for helping the billion people worldwide who don't have access to reliable electricity 24/7. And those people suffering from energy poverty are, you know, not as healthy, not as safe, they don't live as long as people in the West who have access to 24/7 energy supply by oil, natural gas, coal, nuclear, you know, all those reliable baseload type energy sources. So we have our ad, and it is signed by 54 executives. in the oil and natural gas industry, including the CEO of Liberty Oilfield Services, your sponsor today. And we list in that ad all the benefits, well, not all of them, but many of the benefits that oil and natural gas provide and all the life-sustaining benefits from oil and natural gas. So we're coupling that ad campaign, that full page ad with some social media outreach, and we're hoping it will generate a bit of a buzz, just because normally the industry doesn't do that type of thing. We don't go right to the belly of the beast and say, hey, you know what? Stop calling us criminals. You all, in your urban environments, you wouldn't last a day without us because you couldn't use your smartphone. You couldn't use the internet. You couldn't order from Amazon, and you wouldn't have food in the grocery store. You wouldn't have medicines in your medicine cabinet without oil and natural gas, because all of those things are made or powered by oil and natural gas.
Well, you know, Kathleen Scama, I think that we have gotten spoiled, that we don't realize all of the benefits that come from oil and gas. And recently, I walked in the MLK parade here in Denver with some of my friends, and there were some of the young kind of Antifa kids that were kind of walking along trying to, you know, just kind of poke us a little bit, I guess you might say.
Intimidate,
that might be the better word. And as I looked at them, and of course they had scarves over their faces, which I thought was kind of interesting, but they were Bernie supporters, and people asked me how I knew, and I said, well, they had Bernie water bottles, and they were carrying Bernie signs. But as I looked at them, they had their iPhones. They had on coats that clearly had been, you know, that had some hydrocarbons or some, which comes from oil and gas, or some plastic products. You know, everything that made their life that they could be doing that, the shoes that they had on. It was just astounding to me that they were standing for somebody that wants to shut down an industry that makes their life better, and they have not been able to connect that. I thought that was kind of astounding.
Well, it is, you know, we're used to being taken for granted. You know, modern society is complex. People don't necessarily know that everything from the computer chip to the plastics on your iPhone and all the internet infrastructure behind it is not possible without oil and natural gas, because we make so many products out of oil and natural gas. So we understand that people don't necessarily understand that. I get it. But there's so much misinformation from politicians like the current presidential candidates, particularly Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They vilify oil and natural gas, but you know their constituents, Americans, wouldn't last a day without oil and natural gas, because we're in so many things in daily lives. So we get it. We understand that people take us for granted, but the problem, I think, with this type of rhetoric against our industry is there's this notion on the left that if we just ban fracking, and if we just don't, you know, we don't build pipelines, we don't allow any oil and natural gas to move forward, then suddenly wind and solar can take over, as if oil and natural gas is keeping wind and solar down. Well, it's not. It's that wind and solar don't provide an alternative that does everything that oil and natural gas do. There aren't, from transportation, you know, we can't fly jets without oil and oil. We can't keep the electricity on 24/7 without natural gas backing up, without providing that base low power or backing up wind and solar, because they're intermittent. So there's this notion that we can simply do away with oil and natural gas and wind and solar will take over. Well, wind and solar only provide electricity, and they only do that when the wind blows and the sun shines. So they have to be backed up by natural gas anyway. And there's not enough wind and solar to provide all, you know, to take over transportation. Certainly you're not going to get in a jet that is powered by electricity. You know, so this notion that we just do away with oil and natural gas, we don't put any pipelines in place, we stop producing it from federal lands or getting it here in America, only would mean that we would have to import that energy from overseas because we don't have an alternative that does everything that oil and natural gas do. And so when you put that misinformation in the minds of Americans, and we're seeing it here in Colorado, right? We're seeing an administration that is divorced from reality and that is trying to, you know, just wave a wand and say we're going to do away with oil and natural gas, you know, by 2040 or whatever it is. Until there's an alternative that actually does that, all you would be doing is harming people. And, you know, I guess it is easy to say, oh, yeah, by 2050, we're not going to have any oil and gas. Well, if there's not an alternative discovered by 2050, then you know what? We're going to use oil and natural gas. And the good news is we do produce it here in America. We're the number one producer in the world of both oil and natural gas. So we can produce it here. We produce it under very strict environmental regulations. So we produce some of the most, you know, the most clean energy. You know, we, Canada and Norway, are really environmentally responsible. And so, you know, we're producing it to world quality environmental standards. If we don't produce it here, then we're getting it from Russia and Saudi Arabia. You think they care about the environment, that they operate as cleanly as we do? You know, that's just misinformation. It's misinformed, and that's why we're doing this ad campaign to try to, you know, at least spark that pushback on this rhetoric that is damaging to our energy environment.
Well, several things I'd like to make is, first of all, it's just been recently that America has become energy independent. And I remember years ago when we were dependent on the Middle East. And so it is astounding from a geopolitical standpoint that we are now energy independent. Jimmy Carter, back when he was president, said we were going to run out of oil and gas in 20 years. But what he didn't take into account was the creativity and innovation of the human brain. And the oil and gas industry went to work, came up with this amazing hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, and it has made us energy independent, which is astounding. One other thing, Kathleen Skama, that I wanted to mention, we've talked a bit about these electric batteries, and you mentioned honest conversation and that everything has impacts. And there's been no conversation in Colorado about these electric batteries of the cars, or, you know, how to store energy from wind and solar. But when those batteries run out, where do those go? And so there's environmental impacts with that there's not been an honest conversation, and holding up something that's not reliable, that's not efficient, and is not affordable, and saying that that is the standard that they would like to move us to. Ultimately, everyday people will see opportunity go away to thrive and prosper if this rhetoric continues, or if it goes into policy. Kathleen, we're about out of time. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Kathleen Skama, president of Western Energy Alliance, regarding this ad that they're putting in the New York Times and informing people about the benefits of oil and gas. So, Kathleen, what's your final thought on this?
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to discuss these issues. You're right. Electric vehicles certainly have impacts. In fact, some studies find that they have a greater greenhouse gas footprint than the normal combustion engine, depending on where they're run. But certainly the mining impacts are huge. But it's this, you know, everything has an impact. The mining impact from batteries and EVs are certainly high. And so let's have an honest conversation, and that's what we're trying to do with our ad campaign. So appreciate your having me on to talk about it.
And where can people get more information, Kathleen Skama?
Well, we are at westernenergyalliance.org.
Okay, that's westernenergyalliance.org. Kathleen Skama, thank you so much. I'm so excited about this campaign because I like it when the lights turn on, when I'm warm, when I can get in my vehicle and go where I want to, when I want to. And one other point I just wanted to make, Kathleen, and it's because of oil and gas, is at Christmas time, I went into the grocery store and I was able to buy things for my celebratory meal that I didn't have to grow the corn, I didn't have to grow the potatoes, there were tomatoes in the middle of winter in Denver, Colorado, and I say that that's because of a reliable, affordable, and efficient energy, and that is brought to you by fossil fuels, by oil and gas. Thank you so much, Kathleen Skama.